Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. In the face of American tariffs, the Ontario Chamber of Commerce delivered a stark message to federal and provincial leaders. They said, "It is time to prioritize competitiveness over complacency, diversification over dependence, and resilience over resistance to change." This clarion call to action is part of today's show. Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce CEO Brenda Whitehead will speak to what is going on within her membership as they react to the ongoing chaos. She will also review the responses of the Canadian and Ontario Chambers of Commerce as the trade war unfolds. I'm so pleased to have with me today Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce CEO Brenda Whitehead. Welcome back, Brenda.
Hi, Robert. It's so very nice to visit with you today.
Can you characterize the response of Port Hope Chamber members to the current situation regarding tariffs?
It's a loaded question, Robert, because different businesses are having different reactions and different responses to the tariffs. Some are still in the threat of tariffs. Some are not impacted, you know, at all. I think that that is the biggest impact of this tariff talk and the tariff wars, if that's what we want to call them, is the blatant inconsistency. And what I say by that is that businesses can't thrive and survive and continue to move forward without some level of consistency. And the way things are handling right now, it's definitely not consistent.
Let's unpack this a little bit more, though. What about manufacturing? What are you hearing from members who are manufacturers?
There's very mixed emotions. I know in talking to some of our own members, but also members from other chambers and other chamber managers, sometimes it's that, you know, they actually never took the time to look to see if there was a Canadian provider that could provide some of the things that they may need. And so they're looking at, you know, potentially shifting support from where they're getting things. There's others who require very specific materials to do the things that they're doing, and those materials may not be available anywhere in Canada, let alone in Ontario. There's also, you know, some stress around the all of a sudden push for Canadian demand, right? So if you all of a sudden need something and you want to stay within Canada to avoid the tariff, the producers of that product may be under additional stress because other Canadian manufacturers are doing the same thing. And so there's this whole catapult of, again, mixed sort of emotions, but it's, where do we source from? Who do we source from? How can we better source locally or, you know, Canada-wide? And if we can't, how do we negotiate to not be impacted by the tariffs?
What about the retail sector?
Retail sector is kind of funny because some of them are very adamant and always have been, you know, shop local, support local, keep Canada, you know, Ontario. And I'm talking more about the, like the downtown retail, not necessarily your Giant Tigers and your Walmarts and that kind of thing retail. There are different taxes. I was talking to one of our businesses actually just this morning, and she was talking about, she does a lot of jewelry and that kind of stuff. And she used to order pieces of jewelry, you know, through providers. And now she's just going to start building it all herself again, which is what she did 15 years ago, because it will save her the tariffs that she's had applied.
What about the service sector?
Service sector, I guess, again, we'd have to define what we mean by service sector. That's not one that I've had a lot of discussion about. Okay. I don't know if it's something, you know, that one hasn't been brought up and had, you know, ample amounts of conversation about. I do know that a lot are looking at, again, their procurement policies and who they reach out to. You know, they are trying to see if they can find somebody that would be Canadian or Ontarian or even more local than that, that could provide some of the same sources. And part of that is, you know, just to protect themselves so that if a tariff gets added to some of the things that they currently do, it would be lessened for them because they've already problem solved and pivoted.
Before we get into the weeds regarding the responses of the Ontario and Canadian Chambers of Commerce, how has the Port Hope Chamber responded to this situation? What are you guys doing?
We as the Chamber are just really trying to do what we believe we do best, and that's be a conduit of information and a conduit of activity. So working with, you know, the Ontario and the Canadian Chambers of Commerce to provide any kind of feedback that we get. If we get unique situations that, you know, we know could be a one-off or could be, you know, a multiple that could give them some power in the, you know, for lack of a better word, wrestling ring, you know, when they enter in. We've been, you know, providing resources, links to things like the tariff finder and the Canadian, you know, manufacturer listings. And, you know, there's some great resources that are being developed by some of the bigger organizations that we can provide linkages to and give the businesses some of the support they need. We also have regular conversation with our federal our MP had conversation with his staff this morning, you know, making sure that we are keeping lines of communication open between the two as we try to problem solve and see what we can come up with for material.
Are you planning any seminars or workshops or holding any meetings where everybody's going to get together and kind of work things through?
We haven't got to that point yet. We have offered up some really great linkages to sessions regarding information and how to handle things. The Ontario and the Canadian Chamber of Commerce have been creating some great resources and tools that we've been sharing to help the businesses problem solve, to help the businesses, you know, really consider how they're doing business so that they can avoid impact by the tariffs.
Do you have any idea of the number of businesses being impacted in Port Hope?
No direct. We did send out a survey that the Ontario Chamber of Commerce was working on. We did get a few responses to that, but nowhere near, you know, a full representation of, you know, because it could be a small retail business and it could be a very large manufacturer. And nobody is coming forward and saying, count me, count me.
So does that mean you don't know possibly how many jobs might be affected as these tariffs carry on?
Yeah, I mean, the whole job and the impacts will all have to do with, you know, I think that's the other piece, you know, when we talk about the consistency for the businesses and how they need that consistency. It is so hard to sit here, you know, some of the businesses have really great reserves, so they may be okay to deal with the tariffs for a couple of months or, you know, maybe even a year. Who knows? Because nobody fully shares their finances. But we've had that discussion with a few of the businesses. And then, you know, and then they talk about, you know, if we have to, we could start to cut back here. We could, you know, all the businesses use that entrepreneurial spirit to try and figure out what the next steps are. And until there's some consistency applied, it's really hard. Everybody's living in the what ifs and the perhapses.
I want to start with the response by the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. Now, on March 7th, a press release from this group called on the government and political parties to, and I'm quoting here, focus on taking bold, united, immediate steps to reduce red tape, lowering taxes, building trade infrastructure, and addressing internal trade irritants. So I'd like to break that down a bit. First of all, eliminating red tape is a long-held concern by the business community. In this context, how is red tape significantly different than before?
I don't know necessarily that it is any different. I think that part of the red tape now is the battle with interpretation. It's the battle of understanding. It's a battle of how long, how far, what percentage, you know, because different things are tariffed different ways. And, you know, the legislation coming, it could change tomorrow, and nobody really knows that. So I think that's part of the red tape piece that they are referring to. I know that there's also red tape for interprovincial trade. There's red tape for, you know, trading right within our own walls and our own, like our own provider and procurement ways, you know, within domestic situations. So I think that there's some reference to that red tape as well, encouraging our federal government to help to work to reduce some of that.
Now, again, we ask for lowering of taxes. It's often another repeated call by business. How low should they go?
I mean, obviously tax-free would be ideal for everybody, right? And I don't know that anybody actually has what that percentage should be. But, you know, there have been conversations, if the tariffs are up 25%, should taxes then be reduced 20%? So then it's really only a 5% tariff break. I don't know that anybody has actually put the numbers together. And if they have, I haven't reviewed them yet.
But what about financial supports from the government, similar to COVID, to keep businesses open and workers working? Have you heard anything about that?
We've had some discussion with different levels of government around those kind of financial supports. I know that representatives from the Ontario Chamber of Commerce were in Washington again last week, having more discussions with, you know, some of the president's people and some of the decision makers there, you know, trying to figure out how things could be made better, or, you know, go back to what we had happening pre-tariffs, so to speak. But I think that, you know, one of the problems with the potential funding, again, is it's short-term. It's not something that's going to solve the problem. The other thing, too, is that it adds process. You know, we were having a great conversation at a meeting I was at this morning, and one of the decision makers said, well, you know, if we set up a grant program that they can apply, they could have that money in their bank within 3 months, essentially. And our response was, that's great. But if it's a manufacturer who has stuff in their shop that they've already paid for and they're trying to push it out, that's not helping them with their current financial situation. So is it relief or is it support? And again, short-term, long-term consistency, it just makes it all kind of messy. So there have been conversations. I think the longer the tariffs continue, I think the more that people get familiar with what's going on, I think you will see things like, you know, encouraging more right here in Canada, kind of things, buy here, buy what's made here, manufactured here. And I think you'll see some of those supports have to come into play.
The Canadian Chamber also mentioned internal trade irritants, they called it. It sounded a lot like our debate around interprovincial trade. Is that true? And what difference can this make?
I do believe, and I will be honest with you, Robert, I haven't read a lot about the interprovincial trade. It is a lot of conversation that happens on the regular, you know, the different ways of transporting, how fast you can get it from one to the other. Our own taxes are different. You know, the tax base in Alberta is very different than the tax base in Ontario. So what kind of impacts does that have? You know, those are sort of the irritants that I think they're talking about is, you know, how do we get things? You know, you can come across the, you know, the Trans-Canada Highway, but that doesn't come south anywhere here. So where are there, you know, different transit routes and transportation? And a lot of stuff goes down through the States to come across back into Canada from a travel, you know. So there's those kind of irritants that aren't helping much.
The Canadian Chamber also calls for support for exporters. And I just wondered, how many exporters are there in Port Hope?
I am not 100% sure of that rate either. I personally know of four that exports. I also know of one that exports and then it gets imported back for them to do the final stuff before it gets exported again. So there are some, you know, for lack of a better term, yo-yo export import stuff that's happening. And, you know, they're sorting out whether it's a double tariff or a single tariff and how do we not tariff them on what we send back to them. And anyways, they're, yeah, but I couldn't tell you exactly how many are bound by export.
Now, work sharing is also something being called for by the Canadian Chamber. Could you tell us what is work sharing and how would it be helpful?
I believe that would be things like, you know, if you're two companies and you're aligned, you know, can you have a shared procurement specialist, you know, as opposed to each having their own? Again, some of that would be to reduce not just your physical cost of staffing and that kind of stuff, but also to problem solve so that some of the interprovincial or even, you know, intercontinental exchanges and stuff happen fewer than they do on the bigger scale of things.
The Ontario Chamber said in a statement, and I'm quoting again here, "This is a time to prioritize competitiveness over complacency, diversification over dependence, and resilience over resistance to change." Could you help our listeners understand what does that mean?
It's a really loaded statement, but I think really what they're saying is it's really, you know, important that we think about how we do business, how can we do business differently, how can we be resilient and bounce back. You know, we don't want people to get their back up and, you know, be the cat in the corner that wants to attack. We want people to work with each other, think outside of that box of how you've been doing business, and try and do it differently for the betterment of everybody. The biggest thing for me, Robert, is, you know, the impact of this on local economies is really what we all have to be aware of. You know, if we don't start to think about how we're going to handle things on the grander scale, we're never going to get to the smaller scale and making sure that the mom and pop shops and, you know, our local businesses, our local people don't end up in further financial situations, you know, than we're already worried about from a social issue perspective.
Well, that brings me to my next question, which is, Port Hope businesses have gone through some pretty tough times over the last 10 years. I mean, they had COVID, which they had to deal with. Then there was the Walton Street reconstruction that they dealt with. And now they're getting hit with this. What can we do to help bring about some stability for these businesses? I mean, you must worry that, you know, how resilient can these people be?
Yeah, I think their level of wanting to be resilient has definitely been, you know, for lack of a better word, taxed. And that's no pun intended. I do think that, you know, Walton Street is not finished. There's still the third phase. It will be starting this year. The contract has been awarded. Won't have quite as big an impact as, you know, last year's phase two, but there will still be some impacts. I think the best thing that any of us can do is continue to shop, share, and support local. You know, I hear people, I was at a Women's Day event over the weekend and somebody talked about having to stop at Walmart. And another woman turned to her and said, "You should just stop shopping at Walmart." And they said, "Well, why do you say that?" And they're like, "Because it's an American company." And the response was very clearly, "You're right. The head office is definitely, and if it's a franchise owned, then it too is. But all of the people who work there and all of the people who depend on us to buy things there are local. And if we stop 100% supporting the local businesses, like Walmart and Coburg pays taxes to the Coburg tax base. Walmart and Coburg hires, you know, hundreds of, you know, employees. And so we really have to think about what that line is with regards to how we're supporting and who we're boycotting. You know, yes, McDonald's is an American company, but each of those franchise owners are independent entrepreneurs. You know, the people that own McDonald's here in Port Hope, you know, they pay taxes, they hire employees. You know, a lot of their stuff is manufactured and made here in Ontario and throughout Canada. You know, it's not all flown in from, you know, head office in wherever McDonald's head office would be. So I think there's that fine line, and we all have to remember that that's what's important. We have to take care of the people who are in our community and make sure that they have the resources, you know, that you're shopping with them, you're supporting them, you're making sure that our local people can still contribute to the tax base and can feed their families and keep roofs over their head.
The Ontario Chamber released 10 tips for staying competitive during this current environment. What are the top three tips people listening to the show should know?
Yeah, the tips that were created were for Ontario small and medium-sized businesses, so they are very business-specific. If I was to say anything to our chamber members and to the other businesses in the community that were asking, I would say that, you know, one of the biggest things that they should be doing is lobbying for support. Make sure that you do turn to your local chamber of commerce. You know, you talk to your industry groups. We can help advocate for your business's interests. We can leverage government programs. We can continue to share the information for those who are going to Washington to negotiate on our behalf. I think the second thing that we want to make sure we do is identify risks for your own organization. That was one of them, was to assess your risks. You have to think about increased costs and supply chain disruptions. It's not just about being taxed or having a tariff added. It's what other things that you do for your business could be impacted by the tariffs, and then how is that going to put you at a bigger risk. And then I think there's two that are kind of interrelated, and that's the reviewing pricing and contracts along with diversifying your suppliers. So evaluate your contracts and you know, the things you have with your vendors and customers to understand your rights under the conditions, but also think about then diversifying your suppliers. So if you have to consider sourcing materials from sources outside of the U.S. or not affected by the U.S. tariffs, that helps Ontario to reduce their dependency. It helps, you know, you yourself as a business to not be as bound. And if I can add a fourth, only because it is really important, that's the stay informed piece. Keeping up to date with the latest developments and being ready to anticipate and respond to changes. We know that during COVID, this was the biggest thing that we had to do because things changed every day, especially in the first year of COVID. And if we don't stay informed of what's going on so we can be ready to be resilient and ready to handle some of the changes, then we're not going to be able to diversify. We're not going to be able to assess our risks. We're not really going to be able to do any of the other things.
Do you think there's a mirror between what you just described in COVID and what we're living through right now? I mean, it seems to me every hour on the hour, things are changing and somebody says one thing one day and we're going to implement this another day and we're going to pause this here and we're going to go ahead with that there. How, from a business perspective, for people who maybe are not business people, help us better understand what it takes from a business perspective to work and adapt to an environment like that?
For some people, it's not easy to do at all. And for others, they pivot on a point so fast, you know. And when we think of back to the times of COVID, especially in the initial phases when everybody was shut down and, you know, there were businesses that were all of a sudden going online, they were shifting how they did things, they were adding different products and that kind of stuff. I think there is a lot of, you know, potential for the same kind of approaches. That's the resiliency. And to me, that's the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, entrepreneurs are very quick on their feet. They're very quick to respond. And they always tend to have that business outlook. For those that aren't as quick, that's where you can use groups like your Chamber of Commerce. They'll connect you to other businesses that may be able to help you see things. They can connect you with tools. They can, you know, line you up with, you know, different government programs and that kind of stuff that might be able to help you better understand. But all of it goes back to my very first comment, which was the lack of consistency. You know, when you think about running your own home, we all go to work. We know what our income is. We know what our general expenses are. We create our budgets to operate, you know, and hopefully to live within our means. And, you know, if something gets thrown at us that we can't fix, we have to adjust to that. For businesses, it has even bigger impacts because they have employees, they have rents, they have things that they have to pay, you know, very similar to a home budget process, but there's also that planning that gets impacted by other things like your supply chain, like your delivery company, like your, you know, your heat and, you know, whatever it is. And so if we don't have that consistency for the businesses, they have to pivot. And some just get tired and say, I'm done, I can't do it anymore. Some don't have the financial security of, you know, some reserves and things that they've been, you know, working on to help them sort of steer through it. So there's really no direct answer for who can handle it how, but the consistency is what all businesses need.
Is there any collaboration going on between various business groups, chambers, other business associations, local government? Can you tell us what's going on there?
I can, you know, at the federal level, you know, the Canadian Chamber of Commerce always works with its partners, to make sure that everybody is common messaging. At the provincial level, they did start a group with the Ontario Chamber of Commerce that has representatives from the different organizations and stuff at the provincial level. You know, like I know the Ontario Trucking Academy was at the meeting last week with the Ontario Chamber of Commerce, you know, talking about supply chains and that kind of stuff. Locally at our level, the county officials recently requested that everybody come together and start to look at a shop local, you know, kind of support system. We have our first meeting early next week, I think it is, with the Chambers of Commerce, with the municipal economic development people, with the tourism people, so that we can, and then representatives from different businesses, both frontline retail up to manufacturing. And we're talking about what we can do locally to support, you know, buy and made local and, you know, keep supporting our local businesses to reduce impact.
Where do we go from here?
Forward. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, I wish that I could personally go and see Donald Trump, because I think I would be, you know, pretty forward with the guy. And I say that, you know, sort of in jest, but, you know, in all honesty, I don't know exactly what forward looks like just yet. I think we are making headway. I think everybody working together. Robert Fulghum, who wrote Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, you know, his expression, hold hands when you go together in traffic. I think that's what we have to do here. I think we do have advocates on the American side that are advocating for us. You know, even the American Chamber of Commerce put out a release that said, this is no way to work with our best partner. You know, like, so I don't know what it's going to look like moving forward, but I think we have to figure out how we can continue to problem solve, be resilient, and figure out how to stay together.
Brenda Whitehead, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Robert.
That was Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce CEO Brenda Whitehead.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.